The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are getting your skulls crushed by the pile driver of John Orlando with his PBD cast in your face.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your host and podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 229. And as you probably read in the description, it's time to review the Showcase of the Immortals. That's right, WrestleMania 36 was this past weekend, and I invited the pro wrestling pundits DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand to come on and talk about their experience with this very unique WrestleMania setup for this year, thanks to the coronavirus. And we're going to give our overall impressions, our overall insights, opinions, and whatnot, as well as we're going to analyze each of the matches and kind of break them down. So it's going to be a very, very long episode. I'm not going to waste a lot of time. I'm going to get right to it. But before I do, I need to let you all know real quickly that once again, this episode is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. And right now, they're not open because of the stay-at-home order, but when they do open up, you should stop on over to the store. And it's located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have tons of comics, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, various collectibles, back issues, posters, and in this trying time, they are doing a lot of stuff online, including some great auctions on their Facebook page. So check them out over at their website, wgcomics.com, or go to Facebook and search for World's Greatest Comics and check out some of the auctions they have going on. I believe Tuesday night is their live auction that they are broadcasting on Facebook Live. Head on over to the Facebook page or the website, get all the details. And definitely when the chance comes, when we're finally out of the woods with this crazy situation we're in, stop on over to the store, give your money to a great local business or any local business. I mean, you know, if you're not in the Westerville area, if you're listening in Cleveland or Cincinnati or wherever, give some money to those mom and pop shops because they're the ones that are hurting, especially in this current situation with the economy being up and down and all over the place. I can't stress it enough. As you know, independent spirit is what drives the PBD cast, and you know, definitely give your support to not just World's Greatest Comics, but any independent mom and pop shop that you can. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to waste any more time. I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I sit down with DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, the pro wrestling pundits, and we discuss WrestleMania 36. All right, ladies and gentlemen, sitting down this evening with the pro wrestling pundits, Ringside Rand, how are you this evening?
Life is good in the Golden Ghetto.
And, of course, I'm joined by DJ Joey Blaze as well. Joey, how are you?
Trying to fight off the quarantine 15.
I think there's lots of people trying to fight that off.
Oh, my God. My dog has a shock collar, and I wrapped it around my ankle. Every time I feel the need to go to the cupboard or the refrigerator, I just press the button.
Well, you know what? Of the two, I think I would rather fight the quarantine 15 than the coronavirus.
At least he has food and supplies in the house.
I didn't say whose house I was getting them from. That's well, why I got here. The ankle brace put on.
Well, we're here to review WrestleMania 36, which just happened this past weekend. It's the WrestleMania that was so big that they had to hold it over two nights. So let's start off before we do a little breakdown of the matches. What was your overall impression of the entire WrestleMania event? Joey, let's start with you. What was your overall impression?
Pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
I think if I could just take it down to a couple words, like, I think a lot of us were like, oh my God, this is going to be horseshit. And I saw some people that I questioned their fandom too. Like, man, it was so much crap. But when you put your frame of mind on where we're at and what you have to work with, I was pleasantly surprised, and I was satisfied. It's like, you know, taking home that six from the bar, then you get home and you're like, wow, this was a pretty interesting night. So I was pleasantly surprised. I was happy. You guys aren't laughing because you guys must be able to relate. Anyway, I was happy with everything that kind of panned out. The cinematic wrestling, it took me a second. I think we talked about this in separate chats. Like, the jury was still out for me. But we'll talk about it probably when we run down the card. But it brought back that old school promo / vignette feeling to me. So WrestleMania is all about taking it back for me and reliving what I liked about wrestling. Like, I tear up come Mania because it's like, I love it, man. It's just one of those things. And the fact, like I said, I guess I should cut myself off. I was pleasantly surprised.
Rand, what did you think overall?
I had low expectations given the potential for just dog crap. This could have been horrible. I thought it was going to be extremely sterile, which it wound up being in many ways. But I think it was a lot better than I was expecting. Pleasantly surprised.
I was going to say that I'm going to go with a third pleasantly surprised, because much like you two, I didn't have a lot of high expectations, for this WrestleMania. And I felt that it, for the most part, kept me entertained. There were a few times when it didn't. But I think that anymore with WrestleMania, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get, if you can get more entertainment value than less entertainment value, you know what I mean? Like, on that scale, if it's tipping more entertaining than not, you're not going to get a perfect WrestleMania where every match is stellar. I've accepted that fact a long time ago. So I was pleasantly surprised as well that it kept me entertained, and I enjoyed it.
I think with pre-shows, 4 hours on two different nights is still a lot of wrestling.
Well, Rand, you're incorrect. The pre-show was only an hour, I believe.
I think what Rand's probably referencing is pre-shows on old Mania. So, like, used to joke, we say, like, pre-shows starting on Saturday night, which you kind of did, but now it was nice to have that limited pre-show. And to have that, and you had probably about the same amount of film, maybe just a little bit longer, but I see what Rand's saying. It makes sense.
Yeah, sorry, Rand. I thought you were meaning, like, this year. I was going to say, no, they both were an hour, and I liked it. It was short to the point, caught you up on what you needed to, because there were a couple storylines I was a little bit iffy about. And I thought that's the way it should be every single pay-per-view. Let's just be honest.
I do think part of the reason we liked it, as well as most of the people I've talked to, all of the faces won.
Yeah, there was there. You know what? Now that I'm looking at the notes. You're right. There was a lot of faces that won. Well, let's go ahead.
You got your happy ending, Joey.
I usually pay extra for that, but that's nice.
Well, let's go ahead and let's start dissecting some of these matches. So let's start off with the pre-show. The first night, you had Drew Gulak taking on Cesaro, which Cesaro picks up the win with the airplane spin, which I liked. I know some other people in our group chat, and I actually had was invited to a Zoom watch party. So some of the people thought that was a terrible ending. I really liked it. I thought it was great. It was short. It was to the point. It got things going. I forgot to mention, we will be rating these matches based on 0 to 5 body slams. I give this one 3 body slams. That's how much I liked it.
I gave it 2. I just thought it was a good pre-show match. I thought it was great that he did the airplane spin with no hands for the first time that I remember. I don't remember seeing that before.
Yeah, he broke it out. He used to do it a little more frequently, especially in the indies. He hasn't done it in a while, so it was impressive. Joey, what'd you give this match?
I'll give it 2 body slams and a hard lock. Not quite 3 body slams, not 2. I'll tell you what, to be honest, I'd kind of would be, if there's anything I'd be disappointed in, when you see those two guys in the card, you're thinking you're going to have a, you know, scientific barn burner, and I was hoping maybe been a little bit more, but I mean, like it is, it set the tone. It was on a pre-show, so I was good with it.
All right. And we move on to the Kabuki Warriors defending the women's tag team titles against Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. Joey, what'd you think about this match?
It was probably one of my top two or three favorite matches of the first evening. I stress people said it was sloppy, was this, that, and the other. I think you had four women that really went at it. And Nikki Cross was allowed to shine a little bit more, which I really liked. And I enjoyed it. I was surprised. I would have thought the Kabuki Warriors had retained. Or I thought we'd have seen something with Rand's favorite tag team coming back out, the Iconics, to do something there at the end. So there was a little bit of disappointment of what I was anticipating, but overall I liked it. I would give it probably 3.5 to 4 body slams.
Rand, what do you think?
I gave it 3. I have no idea what Asuka is saying, but I like the fact that she yells and it makes her sit special. I just think that's such a cool feature that she does that. I thought it was good work, and I gave it 3 out of 5.
I think it was the best match of night one. I really liked it. I thought it was hard-hitting. It was the perfect time. It went about 15 minutes. And I agree with you, Joey. I think Nikki Cross is starting to evolve out of the shadow of Alexa Bliss and allowed to show a little bit of personality. I thought the finish was really good, too. You know, I'm not surprised that they put the belts on Cross and Bliss. From what I've read, it is possible that we might not be seeing Kairi Sane anymore, as she's kind of unhappy. Rumor is she would like to maybe go back to the homeland. So I'm not surprised by that, but I gave it 4 body slams. I liked it that much.
It was ironic that Rand said that you can't understand what Asuka's saying, and I think that I think the people probably say the same about him sometimes, but for different reasons.
All right, let's move on. We went from a really solid tag team match to a match that, I got to be honest, I thought was, it's not the worst one on the show, but it was pretty bad. That being King Corbin taking on Elias. I was just bored with this match. I'm bored with this feud. Elias wins with a roll up and a handful of tights. Honestly, I don't care. I gave it 1 body slam. Rand, what do you think?
I went 1.5. I was glad to see Elias win. I saw a lot of Twitter love for Mr. Guitar. I hope that he can build from this. I'm tired of Corbin's character.
Joey, what do you think?
Couple things. A, why didn't they go with his bread and butter? We didn't hear an Elias song.
Right. You're right. Absolutely.
I know you're
correct.
Not live, but I mean, come on, that's his bread and butter. That's what we all love. That's what we like to tune in for. We want to be entertained by Elias. His wrestling's kind of a secondary thing at times. So with that said, something else has brought up interesting for me. Tell you what, you put a pair of white trunks on, or a pair of purple trunks on him with some white stars and some yellow boots, tape up those wrists, maybe a pair of fancy sunglasses, a bandana. You have Randy Savage Jr. there. You ever just look at him, and you look at how he wrestled that match? Double axe handle, elbows, a lot of Savage-esque stuff. I don't know if he, like, that's one of his favorite wrestlers or something, so I kind of noticed that after this was said to me, and I kind of watched him. I gave it 2. I'm not a fan of the Corbin character. I'm not a fan of, well, he's doing the right thing if you don't like him. I don't think he is, but a lot of people are on that train, so be it. So I gave it 2 body slams.
All right, let's move on to a title match where we have Becky Lynch defending the Women's Championship against Shayna Baszler. Rand, let's start off with you and get your overall idea about this match, and your opinions, I should say, excuse me, about this match.
I'm going 3.5 stars. I think it lived up. I think it was what it was supposed to be. There's a lot about it I really liked. It kind of brought me back to the Bret Hart, Roddy Piper at WrestleMania 8, which I attended. The finish was similar to that. I liked it.
Joey, what say you?
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of people shit on this match. I was reading some, as I was doing my research, you know, the hours of research I do before I get on the PVD cast. And I was like, I don't know why they did. I think some people were shitting on him because they thought Baszler was going to win, which in my opinion, I thought she was, because I've explained numerous times, even though Becky Lynch has held the title now from Mania to Mania, I think Becky Lynch is better chasing the belt than she is as a champion, and that's just me. I think, but I mean, maybe if it was a different situation, you have a crowd, stuff like that. It served its purpose, and obviously they're going to get another match out of this. We'll see where that goes. As far as body slams, I give it 3 body slams.
Do you think there's a chance that Shayna wins Money at the Bank and comes back for it?
I would assume that they would probably look at somebody else to win it. I think they're going to fight each other at Money in the Bank. And then I think somebody else will win Money in the Bank.
My only thought on this is I was very much surprised that Becky Lynch won. I just wonder, what do you do with Shayna Baszler now? If they don't continue this feud, then what do you do with her? Because there's really nobody else on the Raw roster that I think would fit into a really good feud with Baszler other than Becky Lynch, to be honest. I don't think Asuka and Baszler would be an entertaining or interesting feud or storyline. Certainly not Nia Jackson, Shayna Baszler. That would be hot garbage. So I think that, unfortunately, we're going to be stuck with a few more of these matches. And I say unfortunately because I don't know. This one just kind of didn't. It didn't electrify me. It wasn't as I expected it to be, a little bit more hard hitting. I gave it 2.5 body slams. You know, it is what it is. Becky retains and she's moving on to another opponent, maybe, or maybe she's got Shayna coming up on the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, they kind of pushed Shayna on Raw, it seemed like, to wrestle her one more time. And so she's going to get her proverbial Christian one more match, and they'll wrestle Money in the Bank, and then she'll go on to somebody else. I think they're going to do some more roster shuffling too, so we see some more fresh matchups.
Right, right. Which, if we have time, we'll talk a little bit about Raw, but I thought also Raw was pretty darn entertaining as well, the way that they did it. But let's move on to our next match, which is for the Intercontinental Championship, Sami Zayn defending against Daniel Bryan. Joey, I'll let you go ahead and start off with your thoughts and insights on this match.
Like a midget at a urinal, I was on my toes. Really ready to watch this match. I was excited, but I was let down. I thought that it was going to be a big technical wizardry, and then Sami Zayn went the heel route, which I enjoyed. So I think I was let down because it wasn't exactly what I was expecting. Sami definitely played the heel part very well. Oh, and as far as body slams, 2.5 body slams. Sorry.
All right. I was going to say that I agree with you. I think Sami Zayn played a great heel. I think he's doing a great job with this role. I think it was smart to have a limited amount of outside interference and then Drew Gulak chased away and kind of roughed up Shinsuke and Cesaro. That dive that Bryan took, geez, man, crashing into that barricade. I was like, dude, you know you almost didn't wrestle ever again. You should calm it down. But I thought it was an okay match. I think they've had better matches. Because they've had a match or two on SmackDown, haven't they?
And then tag match. I would rather see Shinsuke versus Daniel Bryan, to be honest. I thought that would be more of a main event match.
Okay, so when they've competed before, whether it's it's in tag matches or in singles, I think they've been more entertaining and better. So I thought it was okay. I gave it 2 body slams. Rand, what are your thoughts?
I think you're seeing the potential, and it didn't live up to that. Much like the Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler. I don't think I lived up to potential either because we have such high hopes for these 4 technical wrestlers. I thought it was a good match, but I was let down a little bit by the finish. So I went from 3 to 2.5 stars.
You mean body slams?
Body slams, yes.
He's been saying stars the whole time. Because he was on Star Search that one night time and lost to Sinbad. Now, all he does is grade everything by stars.
And first of all, if you lost to Sinbad, there's no shame in that, Rand.
Oh, it seems like another lifetime ago.
All right, let's move on to the SmackDown Tag Team title match, which
it
got a little
like
bit...
It another lifetime since we had a Sinbad reference.
I don't know, man. I used to like Sinbad as a kid.
What happened to him? Is he hanging out with Steve Gutenberg?
Or maybe Michael Winslow. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You're getting plenty of Police Academy references on this episode.
as long as they're not hanging out with Tackleberry, I think they're still doing well.
There you go.
As long as they're not hanging out with Kellen Winslow.
Rand was not giving up on that one. He was fitting that one in, come hell or high water.
That's what got him 2.5 stars from the judges on Star Search, folks.
There you go. So let's go into the ladder match for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Jimmy Uso versus Kofi Kingston versus John Morrison. I think that before I pitch it to you two guys, I think this is the match that probably missed having a crowd the most. Joey, do you agree or disagree with that statement?
Oh, I agree with that. I think that anytime you have a ladder match, that's all going to be based on, you know, the crowd involvement, the cheering, the oohing, the awing, the whole nine with that. So I think they would have definitely benefited from that.
Well, what did you think of the match overall?
Okay, so I have a problem with the ending. I had a problem with the ending. Mr. Uso, he pretty much died right before they took it home. Like, that he should have been dead. And yet he came back to be part of the ending. Now the ending I liked. And it would have been a lot better with the live crowd. I thought it told a great story. I enjoyed it. I'm, of course, a mark for the shaman of sexy. So I give it 3.5 body slams.
Rand, what say you?
Do you guys think that the three of them holding on to the belt at one time, that pinnacle moment where they were up at the top of the ladder, do you think an audience would have reacted to different guys pulling back and forth like, oh, we want these guys to win. We want these guys to win. And we missed that moment of suspense.
Yes.
That's what I think John was trying to allude to, correct, yeah.
I think it was kind of like a dusty finish the way all three of them had it and the other two guys wound up with the utensil and the other guy got the meat,
for lack of a better
euphemism.
Yeah, and I think that that's what they were going for, is that we could continue this by having all three of them tug at the belts. I did like the ending. I thought it was very creative. I guess I wasn't too perturbed about Jimmy Uso not really selling his injury, quote-unquote injury, if you will, during the match. I thought it was a good match, too. I still think the women's tag match was better than it. I gave it 3 body slams myself. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, the next couple weeks where they go with the tag teams, because I don't know when Miz is going to be back, because I'm not sure when his diagnosis was. Because if I'm not mistaken, if I heard correctly, he had tested positive, correct, for COVID-19?
Nobody. I've read somewhere that nobody tested for COVID-19. He just had the flu.
He just had the flu. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So one of the things, too. How about this? How about they come back, they redo this match at Money in the Bank, but picture it. It's a Montezuma's Revenge match.
Oh, yes, that would be great. And you know what? I'm going to hold an explanation on that for another podcast, but thank you. Thank you, Joey, for fitting that one in. Appreciate that.
That's what you call a tease in this business.
That's right. It's a tease.
How about we have another match, but instead of these three, it'd be their partners.
Yeah, maybe. If they really wanted to be heel about it, I think they should have done the twin magic with Jimmy and Jay in the ladder match.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
So what if you have each one of their fathers partake in the match? So you have Rikishi versus Mr. Mizanin versus, Kofi's dad from Jamaica or something like that. Would just make
Okay. Let's go another way. Oh, let's have the wives get involved.
That's sure. A good ending.
Sure. Why not? All right. Okay. Let's move on to a match that had a lot of hype behind it. Seth Rollins taking on Kevin Owens. Rand, let's go to you first with your thoughts and ideas on this match, Owens versus Rollins.
Now, this is one time when not having an audience helped, because you could hear them yelling at each other. The incomplete finish and the restart makes it a lot more personal, because you can hear what they're yelling at each other. I think this was one of the few times not having a crowd let them do things that you wouldn't normally do. I liked how it got personal. They were yelling, oh, you want to win it that way? I don't want you to win it that way. I want it to be the real way. I kind of liked it being, I kind of liked the yelling and the personalization of it.
Yeah, I think that that was one of the positives. And it was not just in this match, but it was in a lot of matches where you could hear the trash talking. And I dug that. I liked that. I thought that was really, really good. That was one of the positives of not having a crowd I also, as a side note, just real quick, I think that the way in which they shot a lot of this was really smart too, because there wasn't a lot of wide shots where you could see that there were empty seats. I'm just going to throw that out there. Rand, what did you give it in the scale of body slams?
Well, let me get out my conversion table and go back to body slams.
Okay.
Yeah, I gave it 4 body slams.
DJ Joey Blaze, what do you think about this match?
For one of your fans out there that are very geared with computers and media, to take all the grunts and moans from this match and then all the grunts and moans from Charlotte and Rhea's match and mix them together and then dub it over a porno. I think that would be hilarious, but I could just imagine, like, if I feel like I had to turn both of these down because I felt like my neighbor probably thought I was watching porno at this point. I'll keep it really short and sweet. I give it 4 body slams, too. I really like this match. It was one of probably my favorite match of the night next to something else. I loved Owen's bump off the sign.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down. That was the best part of the match. I gave it 3 body slams. I thought it was good. I thought that this is the match where you could have a stoppage and then a restart and it wouldn't hurt the match. Cause I think a lot of times that's used and not used properly. And it kind of just drags out a boring match where instead this really benefited from it. I liked it. I gave it 3 body slams. The next segment really we can't rate because of what it actually was. It is that Mojo Rawley won the 24/7 title. I don't know, guys. I mean, it is what it is. It's the 24/7 title. We knew that was probably going to happen. Any thoughts?
I would personally like to see. I think at this point, if it would have been a regular WrestleMania weekend, this is where you would have saw legends intervene or be part of the segment. You probably could have saw it happen during the whole show, which is kind of what I would have liked to see, but you can't in this format, in this situation. So I think they did the best with what they could do with it and make it a part of the show.
I think it was somehow given that Gronk and or Mojo would be somehow involved with the match. And this is the one that makes the most sense.
Yep. All right. We're moving on to our, sorry.
What'd they say? 96 title changes on that?
Oh God, who knows? I don't remember the number that they said, but yeah, it was up there. All right, let's move on to the title match here, ladies and gentlemen, between Goldberg and Braun Strowman. I'm just going to rant real quick. This gets 0 body slams. This was terrible. This was absolutely ridiculous. 2 minutes and 10 seconds, it was, let me do my move, you can do your move. Let me do my move, you can do your move. It was redundant. It was ass. It was terrible. End of rant.
I'll give it an inside cradle, so I won't even give it a body slam. but the only reason I'm even giving it any type of score, even though it's late, even though they're tardy to the party, like they might say on the internet, finally we put the title on Strowman. Now, will he be the Iron Sheik of this and be transitional? I don't know. We'll see. I hope not. But I think that's what we're going to end up seeing. But I'm glad that they finally put this on him. I think it's a long time coming.
Rand, what do you think about Braun Strowman as our new champ?
I have no problem with that. I'm not sure that he still has the major push and overness that he had before. I think the overall problem is Goldberg should not have been champ.
Right. Absolutely.
I think his physique, he looks awesome. He's in phenomenal shape. Congrats. Kudos. High five, Bill. Come out, maybe do a guest spot here and there. We don't need you in the ring anymore, brother.
Or, okay, if you're going to use Goldberg, use him in a much more creative manner. Let him be a part of, like, some type of tag team situation. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where, like, he doesn't have to be doing the workload that they're expecting him to do. And, you know, Rand, I agree with you. I wonder if the bloom is off the rose, as Conrad Thompson would say, when it comes to Strowman, because we've had so many teases that he's going to be the next champ, and then no. And he's going to get no. And then he's going to win it? No. We've had so many that I don't think that he is over as he once was, Rand.
Yeah, I agree. The stink is definitely off the ship.
Yeah, and I agree with you as well, Joey. I don't think that Braun's going to be Iron Sheik level of transitional champ, but he doesn't hold that belt through the summer. He doesn't get the SummerSlam with the championship.
I hope.
Well, yeah, I mean, the guy deserves it, I guess. Roman, yeah.
I think Roman Reigns wins Money in the Bank.
Okay.
That's just me.
All right.
Forecast.
All right, now for our main event. It is AJ Styles versus The Undertaker in the Boneyard match. Joey, let's start with you, because I have a feeling that I know what you're going to say about this, so go ahead.
Yeah, I've said it a million times. It took me a second, though. I wanted to digest it all and maybe go back and watch a few things. I was just like many people. I was just thrown off. I was like, okay. The boom sequences where they've added the punchy noises and stuff like that, okay. There's cheesiness to it. The cardboard headstone or wooden headstone, or the cheese was kind of sprinkled through, but what it like liked about that cheese is that was the same cheese that they had when Jake the Snake took the Ultimate Warrior to that room and closed them, and there were a bunch of snakes. So it had that kind of throwback vignette that drew me in. It was something different. And you talk about the trash talking. That's what was great about the end of that match as well, what so-called match. One of the things they said, I guess social distancing doesn't count in Boneyard matches when all those druids came out, but that's a whole other story for the state of Florida. But overall, I would give it four body slams as well. I think it was my, after I sit back and digested it all, it was my favorite match of the night, if you want to call it a match. But it's what I enjoyed the most.
I loved how he kept calling him Alan. I thought that was hilarious.
Like he was his dad.
Right. Yes, exactly. That's what I was reminiscing
of. That's the vibe I got. Like, daddy's going to take you to school now. And that's what I definitely enjoyed that too.
All right, Ram, what were your thoughts on the Boneyard match?
I really, really enjoyed it. We were just talking about Goldberg and his limitations. Maybe we're to the point now where The Undertaker has limitations and a great worker like AJ was able to work with him. I think that every great character, not just wrestler, has matches based on his personality. And this is exactly what The Undertaker should be doing. I thought it was the best match of the day.
Matches like this can extend his career another 5 years. Let's be honest, guys. You don't have to have a regular match anymore.
Rand, what did you give it body slam wise?
Oh, I went for the 4.5, the best of the night.
Wow, okay. At first, I was a little bit, much like you, Joey, not 100% sure of how I felt about this. But after it was over, I sat down and said, you know what? The trash talking was great. It was ridiculous. It was fun. It was entertaining. And as I won't mention who, but I started texting with another friend and another longtime wrestling fan who thought it was complete garbage. I was like, look, I'd rather see the Undertaker do these type of things than see him in the squared circle wrestling, because the dude just doesn't have it anymore. He hasn't for a while. So I would much rather him do these. Actually, I will tell you that of the two cinematic wrestling experiences we had, this was the better one. I'll go that on record. That's my hot take for this episode. This was the better one. I gave it 3 body slams because, like I said, at the end of it, I was like, you know what? It was just as you mentioned, Joey. It was just like, you know, a boiler room brawl or Tupelo concession stand brawl. It was what it was, which was nothing more than a fight.
I think it was missing one thing. When he said that his triad of what? What did he say? His triad of Unholy Trinity. That's what he said, Unholy Trinity. He used that term. Mm-hmm. So I was expecting maybe Kane and Foley.
Oh,
or
okay.
Expecting something like that, and we didn't get that. But I definitely would have loved to see Kane when the fire went off, but we didn't get to see that. But he's probably taking care of his city right now, so I get it.
That's right. He's a very busy man, probably. Hey, real quickly before we start talking about WrestleMania 36 Part 2, it's that time in the episode where I need to let you know that this episode is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. I know right now we can't leave the house, but when we get a chance to, you got to stop on over to the store. 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio is where the store is located. They have tons of comics, comic book supplies, toys, graphic novels, posters, back issues, various other collectibles. They are doing a lot of great and cool interactive things on their Facebook page. They're doing a Tuesday night auction since you can't get to the store due to the stay-at-home order. All you got to do is search for WG Comics or search for World's Greatest Comics on Facebook. And on Tuesdays, you can check out the live auction. You can also check them out online at wgcomics.com as well, where they keep posting a variety of different announcements and whatnot. And actually, they even have links to their auctions. No matter what it is, ladies and gentlemen, help out World's Greatest Comics. They've been a great sponsor of the PVD cast. And if you get a chance and you need some comic book stuff, seek those guys out. Hit them up either by telephone or on the internet and let them know that you want to give your money to one of the local businesses who, you know, quite frankly, all local businesses are struggling right now. So do the right thing and check out World's Greatest Comics. All right.
Speaking of local businesses, John, what did you do with the catering team? Did you have to furlough them?
I had to furlough everybody on the staff here. It is just me. Just me.
Wow, single captain of the ship, and that's it now.
That's it. Hopefully this ship doesn't hit an iceberg.
Well, unfortunately, we hit a Goldberg this past weekend, but we got over.
All right, let's move on to the second night of WrestleMania 36. The pre-show, we had Liv Morgan taking on Natalya. I'll throw my 2 cents in first. I was very much confused who was the heel and who was the face in this match, because it seems like for weeks up to WrestleMania, both of these women have been faces, baby faces. So I was really confused by it. Liv wins with a roll-up. Okay, I gave it 2 body slams. Rand, what do you think?
Yeah, that's about right. You're not really expecting much out of a pre-pay-per-view show. And yeah, that's about what it was. It really wasn't a whole lot.
Are you going with my rating of 2 body slams as well?
Yes.
All right. DJ Joey Blaze?
That's why he is a broadcast journalist, folks, right there. You don't get that expert analytic style anywhere else, I'll tell you. Anyway, so what did I think? I think they're both hot, so I think I'm going to be a bigot here for a minute. I don't care. I'm sexist sometimes, whatever. They're both hot. But down to Natalya is a great worker. And Liv Morgan, you're jumbled. You don't know who you're going to root for. They at least got their shine on Mania when a lot of people didn't that probably should. So I'm happy for them. They at least got on the show in some way, shape, or form. I still give it 2 body slams myself.
All right. Now to a match that literally tore down the house. Okay, not literally. That's an over-exaggeration. But it was an awesome match in capital letters. Charlotte Flair picks up the victory over Rhea Ripley, wins the NXT Women's Championship. We'll start with you, Joey. What were your thoughts on this match?
That's kind of my thoughts. It's the whole match. It was nothing but that. But the reason for it is because they beat the hell out of each other. And it was a great match. Nice to see two similar styles, to see Rhea, you know, finally get her spot on the main stage. She's got a lot of manias ahead of her. I really enjoyed the match. I was kind of bummed about the ending. I mean, you talked about how many times the 24/7 titles changed hands. I think that's about as many times as Charlotte's won a world title, it seems like.
Does this count as a world title?
Yeah, it's an NXT title for sure. So other than I didn't like the finish personally, I'll give it a 3.5 body slams. It was a very good match. They definitely tore the house down, and they brought it for that match.
Rand, your thoughts?
I was really surprised that it was the first match of the night. I was surprised it went 30 minutes. There were convincing near falls throughout. I thought it was probably, I think it was as good as any match on the card. I think it was one of the best. I liked the way that Rhea said people have been comparing me to Charlotte. This is my chance. I thought she held up her end of the deal. I think that it was one of the best female wrestling matches I've seen at Mania in a long time.
How many body slams?
I give her 4 body slams.
Look, I agree. I think this was match of Mania for me. I gave it 5 body slams because, yes, Joey, it was hard hitting. It was intense. I was also shocked, Rand, that it was first out of the gates, but what a way to start off night 2. Now, I will say this, as we're recording this, we have, and I say we because you and you, Joey, and Rand are in the group chat along with some other folks. Apparently, breaking news, it is possible, rumor and innuendo state that Rhea Ripley has to go back and re-up her visa, ergo while she dropped the belt.
Well, she should have got a Discover or MasterCard and she wouldn't have to deal with that.
I have an American Express card that I use here in the Golden Ghetto.
Isn't it a platinum card, Rand?
It's none of your business.
All right, gentlemen, let's move on to a match that, quite frankly, I was not looking forward to. But damn it, it was better than I thought it was going to be. And that was, of course, Bobby Lashley taking on Aleister Black. Rand, what did you think of this match?
I'm kind of wondering at this point, what is it going to take to get Aleister Black over? I mean, I think the guy's great. I think he's interesting. I think he's entertaining. Does a lot of great stuff. The kicks, the black hole. Even his entrance is different than everybody else. I just don't know why he's not a bigger star. Is it because he's physically smaller than average? And I really think Bobby Lashley is the current Lex Luthor, Lex Luger. I just don't see much in Bobby Lashley.
You know, I think that's a good point. I think Aleister Black's got the character. And, you know, everybody knows on that has listened to this podcast, I was not a fan of his in NXT. But he has actually grown on me now that he's on the main roster. And I can see the appeal. He is a smaller guy, even though they announced him at 215. He's probably just a shade over 200. It's a great question why he's not booked. Like, why was he not in a angle with The Undertaker? It just seems like a no-brainer to put those two together rather than AJ Styles and The Undertaker. I got to be honest. Like I said, this match was much better than I anticipated. I gave it 4 body slams. Joey, what do you think?
All right. I get to say a little thing about this. First of all, I think it's, and I don't know how unpopular opinion this might be, I think it's Bobby Lashley's best match since he's been back to the WWE.
I agree. I will agree with you on that.
I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's because he switched from trunks to tights. I don't know if he had a little bit of time off. I it couldn't have been with because of Ghetto Lana and her weird look that she's been sporting. I don't know what it was, but I can't see why it's Aleister Black. Aleister Black is he's a striker. He's not a wrestler. And these guys put on a good, solid match that told a great story. I was pleasantly surprised by the match. We all thought it was going to be this throwaway match. It just didn't make sense. It belonged on the card more than an 8-man tag that would feature Typhoon and Earthquake on one side and Nasty Boys on the other. So I give it 3.5 body slams. That's mostly because I was pleasantly surprised. It was a good match.
Rand, did you give your body slam rating for this match?
2.5.
2.5. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Now we're moving on to what is, to me, a very mixed bag of a storyline for me. I was just not really into the whole storyline, but it's Dolph Ziggler taking on Otis. Otis picks up the victory and, of course, gets the goodbye kiss from Mandy because Mandy got involved. Sonya was involved. Yeah, this match did nothing for me. I gave it 1.5 body slams. I haven't been really into the whole storyline to begin with. Rand, I know your favorite is Mandy Rose. What did you think of this match?
I think Otis has gotten himself over in a big way in the last month or two. I think it's done a lot for Otis. I was doing some research on Dolph Ziggler. Jim Cornette says he's the second coming of Kurt Hennig. Mr. Perfect, that's high praise. I think Dolph is able to make people look good. I do think that there is more intrigue based on the personalities and the story than there was the match itself. I really liked it, but more for the story and how it turned out than the actual in-ring action. So I gave it 2 stars, 2 body slams.
Joey, your sentiments on Otis versus Dolph Ziggler?
Rand's having some problems there with, it's like that Canadian versus U.S. currency he's got going on there.
Metric and standard.
Okay, I'm a big cheese ball. We've established that. First, I'm going to give this match 3 body slams. Maybe 3 body slams and a step over toe hold. It entertained me because I like the Beauty and the Beast type of storyline. They finally got back together. It's nice to see them finally maybe breaking up Fire and Desire, too, to let them go out and see what they can do on their own. So it kind of told that story. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm a huge mark for Otis. It is what it is. It was great for a Mania match because it reminds you of, like, the George Steele Savage with Elizabeth type of storyline type of deal. I liked it. I gave it like 3 body slams and maybe had a step over toe hold there on it.
All right.
Do any of us have any idea who the hacker is?
And you know what? I think that's the one thing that should have been done in this match is reveal who it is. I mean, because I think if you let that go, like another week or two, nobody's going to care. I think you need to do it like right now. While the iron's hot, strike now, reveal who it is.
Or have the hacker get involved with another storyline.
Yeah, right, right.
Expose some other situations.
We're all in agreement it's Ali, though, right?
It's who?
Ali.
Oh, you know what? No, to be honest, I didn't even have a prediction. Why do you think it's Ali?
Because he was supposed to come back. They wanted to give him a bit more of a superhero gimmick. So okay. I think they're kind of doing a bit more of, and John, you'll appreciate this, more of a Nightwing type of, superhero gimmick.
All right.
So that's why I think it's going to be him. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just somebody totally different. It's not going to be Killer Cross because we've already seen his stuff in NXT. So that's who I think it is.
Maybe it's Tucker.
Would you call me?
All right, let's move on.
Okay.
It's time for the last man standing match. Edge versus Randy Orton. DJ Joey Blaze, I'm going to let you go first. What were your insights on this match, the last man standing bout between
Orton? You talk about when life gives you lemons. Not only did they make lemonade, I think they made Mike's Hard Lemonade. Like, they took with what they were given. Just this, you'd think they were going to get, like, this big Play-Doh set to mold and build and play with, but they got this little tiny ball of clay. But they turned this tiny ball of clay into a huge castle. I enjoyed it. I'm happy that Edge can still go. I was nervous for him on a few bumps. I'm like, he kind of makes you squirm because you know what's happened to him. But I've enjoyed this whole comeback story. And before it happened, I was an Edge fan. I'm now an Edge fan. I find if you watch this 24 on the WWE Network and didn't shed a tear, you're not a wrestling fan, first of all. It was that good. I love his comeback. This was one of my favorite matches of all of Mania. Even though it was the circumstances of what it was, I give it 4 body slams.
I liked it a lot. I think whenever somebody's gone for as long as Edge was, we're really concerned about them. We're worried about, are they going to be able to take the bumps?
Has anybody been gone as long as he's been gone, though? That's 9 years, dude.
Anytime anybody's been gone 2 or 3 years, we worry about him.
Yeah.
How long was Goldberg gone?
Not long enough.
I think that this was a match made for this kind of situation. They didn't need the audience. They weren't going to be in the ring much. They were going to fight throughout the building. It was kind of like the Hollywood backlot match with Piper and Goldust, where they were largely backstage and going through the different parts. Or what was the one in Survivor Series in Cleveland with Undertaker and Mankind? Yeah, it was one of those kind of matches where they're using all the stuff around them. I don't think I've ever seen a chain link fence over a boardroom office before, but they used a lot of what was there. My only possible complaint, this is like the third longest match in WrestleMania history. This one, like 36 minutes. It could have been 25 minutes and it would have been just as good. There's a point where you're uncomfortable watching it because it was so long, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was one of the best matches of the night, of the weekend. So I gave it 4 American body slams.
Are you laughing at American body slams? Not Canadian, not Russian, not South African.
I got them through customs.
Not Russian sickles, not Canadian destroyers, American body slams.
That's right. All right, here we go. This is where I'm the odd man out.
Uh-oh.
I was bored with this match. This match, 36 minutes. What the hell are you doing? It was repetitive. It was redundant. It was, we're going to fight in the ring. We're going to fight in the back. We're going to climb up things. We're going to fall off things. Repeat. This needed to be 15 minutes max. And it just drug on and on and on. And I was so bored with it. And I won't even, and to be honest with you, I don't even care about the controversy behind it. I don't care. How that ever happened, it should not have happened, but whatever. Yeah, I gave it 1 body slam. I was not a fan of this. I was thinking it was going to be so much better, and just by the end of it, I was like, thank God it's over. Let's move on to the next match.
Isn't that what your last girlfriend said after you guys got done making out?
Okay.
Thank God it's over.
Maybe.
I thought they were fairly creative, though. Even though it was something similar, they still did different things, and they still, like, they clearly put that chain link above the table for that match.
Sure.
That's the only reason they did that decoration.
Okay, but could it be
that you might have been a little bit bored because we already kind of saw that with Gargano and Ciampa doing something similar, going through the PC doing that type of stuff?
Yeah, and it was 10 minutes. So,
No, I get it. I get the length thing. Not everybody likes length. They like the most of the ocean. I totally get that. I enjoyed it because I'm a fan of these two. I'm a mark of the wrestlers involved.
All right, let's address the controversy behind it. Did you think it was inappropriate or a little too soon to be doing the I'm going to strangle somebody with a cord from the weight machine?
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
I didn't think about it either.
Yeah, that's the big controversy. In fact, at the Zoom watch party I was at, somebody goes, "Hey, it's a little too soon. You know, the Benoit documentary was just on last week," and I'm like, "Yeah, you would think that somebody would have said, yeah, let's not do that." But apparently, sure, it can, you know, you can do that. So, anyways, we shall agree to disagree on this match, and we'll move along to our next segment, which again is a 24/7 title change in which our host, the man with the most obnoxious outfit. Well, no, take that back. Byron Saxton had the most obnoxious outfit, but he was second. Gronkowski wins the 24/7 title. Thoughts on Gronk as our 24/7 champion?
I don't know. I don't have much thought for myself. He knew it was going to happen. So.
Yeah. I'd rather that than him winning an actual title because.
Exactly. 100%.
Yeah, there was some rumors about that happening, and I'm like, fuck that noise. No. Rand, any thoughts on Gronk being a champ?
No.
Okay, enough said. No. We're moving on. It's
once
time
again,
for the
you don't get that. And that was everywhere else.
We've had, what, 75 different people hold that title?
Yeah, you're right. All right, let's move on to the Raw Tag Team titles. The Street Profits defeat Angel Garza and Austin Theory. To be honest, this match seemed to me incredibly short. I looked up the time. I was like, 6 minutes. It seemed like 6 minutes. As a matter of fact, I kind of looked away, looked at my phone for a minute, looked back, and the match was over, and I'm like, well, what the hell? But the Street Profits pick up the victory. Guys, do you think because it was so short is why we got a rematch on Raw the next night?
I think it was just so they can make sure to let you know that Bianca Belair is on Raw now, to be honest with you. I think that was more of her introduction to Raw, reason we got a rematch. A couple of things, I enjoyed the match. It was what it was. They gave it, let me look at my notes here, 2.5.
Okay.
So it filled. I just think that my takeaway from this is we're going to see Austin Theory on here for a long time.
Oh, yeah, that guy's really, really good, and he's just going to get better because he's only, what, 22, 21? I don't know. He's really, really young. He's going to get good.
He's young just like Rhea Ripley is. And that's what's really nice about this Mania is I think we saw some talents that we're going to see on, hopefully see on Manias for a lot of Manias to come.
Yep. I gave it 2 body slams. Sorry, I didn't throw out my rating. Ran, what were your thoughts on the Raw Tag Team title match?
I gave it 1.5. I was wondering, was Andrade supposed to be involved at one point?
Yes, and he has a broken rib, so he had to be removed. That's why Austin Theory was pulled in as a last-minute replacement. I think they announced that like last week, I believe.
And he's largely in it. I'm not saying this against his quality. I'm saying this, he might have been included because he's local and available because of the schedule.
True.
I think Andrade's a better teammate. They have more in common when it goes with Angel Garza. I think Austin Theory's really good, but I'm not sure that he fits in with Zelina Vega as well.
No, you're right. I think it doesn't match up as well as having the whole faction of Hispanic individuals, you know, Garza and Andrade and Zelina.
Excuse me, really quick. How many of those hard-earned Canadian dollars do you have to put in your jar now? After that analysis,
I'm spending American dollars, Daddy-O.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the $2 one. That was true.
Requesting that logic.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was to bring Bianca Belair in, and I honestly think 90% of her personality is her playing with her hair. She doesn't do anything for me at all.
No, she's I'm not a big fan at all. I just don't get it. Yeah, I'm not a fan. But since we're talking about the ladies, let's move on to the five-woman elimination match, which saw Sasha Banks, Tamina, Naomi, Lacey Evans, and Bayley competing for Bayley's SmackDown Women's title. Joey, I'll let you go ahead first and give your thoughts on this match.
Well, I was surprised the outcome. I thought it would come down to Bayley versus Sasha. And I thought there'd be some sort of turn, but they didn't. I wasn't really into this match, and I'm a Bayley fan. I don't know. I just felt like it was lacking something the whole time I'm watching. I don't know what it was. I don't know. Maybe it's because we had seen better women's matches throughout WrestleMania, which probably is a part of it. I'm only giving it 1.5 body slam. I was not into this match at all.
I thought this match was okay. I think that the dynamic of having a five-woman elimination match, I think, was not very well thought out. I think it would have worked better if it was one fall to a finish, and then you could build some suspense with it. With elimination, I think it took away from building that, you know, anticipation. Granted, there's not a crowd there. I think this is another match that probably would have done really, really well with a crowd. I was surprised that Bayley retained. I thought for certain that we were going to see a title change, and I also thought it was going to come down between Banks and Sasha, but I thought Sasha could be a possible winner of this match and win the title. I gave it 2.5 body slams. Ran, what is your analysis of this match?
I think they're kind of saving the breakup of Bayley and Sasha Banks for a live crowd where it might have more impact.
Right.
I think that they're teasing that, saving that, and maybe when we get back to an audience, we'll see that. Yeah, I gave it 2. I just have a hard time with Naomi and Tamina as wrestlers.
Yeah. Well, Tamina was a last-minute addition, too, because who did she replace? I thought she replaced somebody. Joey, do you know offhand?
She did replace anybody. She was originally part of it. What's her name from Cleveland was supposed to be in the match?
Oh, Dana Brooke?
Yeah, Dana Brooke.
Okay, so...
Mimi Bobek from the Drew Carey Show.
Oh, my God.
Obscure references abundant tonight, ladies and gentlemen, between Police Academy, NFL tight ends, and now the Drew Carey Show. We're covering it all here on the PBD Cast.
Speaking of that, did you know that Whose Line Is It Anyways is still on TV?
Yeah, it's on the CW.
I had no idea till last night.
Yeah.
And Rand.
Did you know that Triple H was once on the Drew Carey Show?
Yes, I did.
I think I knew that too. So let's move on to our second dose of cinematic wrestling. That, of course, being the Firefly Funhouse match between The Fiend and John Cena. I'll let Rand, you go first.
I'm not sure that we can call this a wrestling match. When I heard it was going to be a wrestling match and it was a Funhouse match, I'm thinking, okay, they got a close set. Maybe they'll start out in the ring and Bray Wyatt will throw John Cena into the seats, and the different characters from the Funhouse would attack John Cena. I mean, the different characters that you see in the Funhouse. I thought it was going to be more along that line. What we got was like pretty much John Cena's history and all the different things that John Cena's been through, and then the mandible claw at the end of that. I think it was really strange. I enjoyed it, but I thought it was really strange.
I just wrote down one word in my notes, and that word was wow. And I don't mean that as a wow as in I'm really impressed, or a wow that was trash. A wow as in I'm not sure what I watched. Here, if I may, I'm going to give – this is why the Boneyard match to me was better than this. All right? I gave this 1.5 body slams. The Boneyard match, even though it was a gimmick, it still had a fight in it. Like there was a fight between two guys, or if you count the Druids and everybody else. But it was a fight. This was like a David Lynch short film, and I didn't know what the hell was going on with it. I think that maybe one of these type of, you know, cinematic matches should take place on a pay-per-view, not two, because it's maybe a little bit too much. Joey, what do you think about this?
Picture this. I'm ringside Rand, and I'm. It's the summer. I'm getting ready to go to minor league baseball, but I'm stopping in San Francisco to hang out with the hippies. And somehow I get a bad hit of peyote. This was the bad hit of peyote, but even within a bad hit of peyote, you can have some good. I enjoy it. I think if you took everything away from it And it literally felt like, and I've never have, is what I'm told, like you were tripping on something. And I enjoyed, it was different. I enjoyed, just like I enjoy a lot of art forms that are different. It made sense to me. I liked the running through his history and this, that, and the other. It was something different because the Fiend is different and he needed something different after losing the belt to Goldberg. So he needed to come something, bring in something that's just going to make him stick out and still tell the Fiend story. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I loved Johnny Large Meat. I thought that was hilarious. The whole, this is some good shit. I love that. I love the Vince puppet. I'm going to give it 3 body slams, even though it wasn't a match. I might even give it a Slammy Award, to be honest. I enjoyed it. It was different. And that's all I got to say about that.
Rand, did you give us your official body slam rating for this, by the way?
I'm going to go 2.5.
Okay. All right. Going from the bizarre to what is probably best described as the mundane, we get to our main event, in which Brock Lesnar is defending the Universal title against Drew McIntyre. And again, why are the two title matches the absolute drizzling shits? Because this match also was terrible, much like the one the night before. I gave it 0 body slams because, again, I don't care. F5 Claymore, F5 Claymore, F5 Claymore. Who cares?
So do you think this fight has something to do with the supposed spat between Brock and Vince?
I did not know that. I'm unaware of this. Please fill in the blanks,
so to
speak.
Well, there's a rumor that they had a – basically because they're having to work during all this. So Lesnar, I think, pitched a fit about that. But they had a spat. So I don't know if this was a way of just trying to – just getting this done and over with fast or what it was. The match, okay. Yeah, drizzling shits is definitely – I agree with you. I don't want to give anything 0 body slams because I can't do what these guys do. I'm never going to do that. So what I am going to do is I'm going to give it a half body slam, okay, with also, I don't know, a test of strength. We'll just throw that in there because it really tested my views on these guys and their work, because both of them received a lot of praise lately. Even Cena came out and said Lesnar's one of the best workers ever, and neither one of them showed it. So that was the annoying thing. So I think this might be part of the whole, like, whatever – run over a spillover from whatever happened between Vince and Lesnar, because I don't think you would book it like that.
Rand, what did you think about this title match?
It is the first time that I can remember Paul Heyman not grabbing the microphone and making the introduction.
I don't think he needs to when there was nobody in the audience. I think that is probably what nixed that idea.
I also got the feeling that things weren't right when that happened, that there was something unusual here. I'm glad Drew McIntyre finally won. It's unfortunate that he had to do it in a sterile environment like this, and he didn't get the crowd pop that he and Braun should have both gotten from winning their first title.
True.
I give it 1.5.
Yeah, so we'll say that WrestleMania ended kind of on a dud, if you will. It fizzled there, especially with that match on night 2. But with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to close up shop here. We're getting close to our time limit here. So as we wrap things up, DJ Joey Blaze, you want to tell folks where they can find you on the internet?
Yes, you can find me on OnlyFans. It's onlyfans.com/DJ Joey Blaze.
Do you have feet pics?
I do have feet pics for those that are interested, especially this big hammer toe. It really gets them going. So this, after this more than 60-minute Broadway we did, I can't wait to get a glass of water. Usually that you have it ready for us there. I'm not used to that. I'm in my office, and I don't have any water, so I can't wait to get it. But you can find me on Twitter at DJ Joey Blaze. I'm happy to talk wrestling to you. I'm happy to DJ something for you. I'm happy to officiate your wedding. You name it, come see me.
All right, Rand, where can people find you on the internet?
I am right there on Twitter at – Rand Dittmar.
There you go.
I had my butler bring me a couple glasses of water during the show, by the way.
Is his name Jeeves?
I thought his name was Benson.
Benson? Wow. Folks, on that Perfect. Note, we've introduced you to not only obscure movies, football players, TV shows, but man, oh man, but also wrestling. It's been an episode and a half, hasn't it? All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw us a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. So don't go anywhere. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, and yours truly, sharing our opinions and insights about WrestleMania 36. And you can chime in. You can tell me what you thought about this episode, and you can do that a couple different ways. First, you can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pbdcast.com is my email address. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. You can even leave me a message if you'd like over on the Facebook page or the Instagram page of the PVDcast. Simply just search for PVDcast and let me know what you thought. And I think right about now is where I need to let you know where you can find this great podcast in case you want to tell a few folks about it. Obviously, the best place to go is the online home of yours truly, that of course being PVDcast.com. But it's also available through, you know, most of the major podcast platforms like Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Deezer, Google Podcasts, the Pod Paradise, even Radio.com app or the iHeartRadio app. Basically, any podcast platform, you just search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, PVDcast John Orlando, and you're sure to find it. But don't forget, the PVDcast is also available through Redline Radio LLC. Just go to RedlineRadioLLC.com to their website, or check them out on Facebook, again, just by searching Redline Radio LLC, and you can hear the PVDcast every Sunday at 4 o'clock, and you can check out all the other great shows on the network, and they even have an app. If you have an Android phone, just go to the Google Play Store, search for Redline Radio LLC, download it, and you could take the station with you wherever you go. And there is one coming for Apple real soon, trust me. So with that, we've gone long enough. I want to wrap things up. So I thank you all for listening. I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy.